Would you please welcome our Rockford campus right now, Geneseo, everybody watching on the internet, good morning. God bless you guys. We do truly love you, and we're excited about what God's doing in each one of our campuses, including our online campus. Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to Psalms chapter 118, 118, verse 24. Okay, I'll try that again because I was still talking. Okay, we'll get it again. Psalms 118, verse 24. There we go. We know how to do this together. Before I get into that real quick, I want to talk to you about today's message because it's a little different. It's kind of a prophetic message, I guess is the best way to say it. You say, well, what does that mean? Today's message is something that I feel more in my spirit than it is some great revelation that you're about to hear or teaching. You know, I'm a teaching guy by nature. I love to teach. I love to give you tools. I love to establish how you think. But when I say something's a prophetic message, it means it's something that I believe is almost more spiritual than it is just the information you're about to hear. You know, I believe when Jesus, you know, spoke many times, he wasn't just creating teachings or what we've turned into doctrines, but as he was speaking, people were changing. Something was being broken off of their mind or off of their life, or they were coming out of a place of ignorance into a place of light. And it wasn't just the words he was saying, there was a spiritual effect that was going on as he was saying it. And I believe today is going to be similar to that. It's interesting because I haven't felt necessarily this passionate about a feeling and about a message that in a long time. I mean, I always care about what I'm saying, but I feel as if God today wants to set some individuals free. It's going to start with the entry of some simple truths. That's what I'm saying. Today, if you were to look at it just from doctrine or just from the teaching perspective, I could say what I'm about to say in 30 seconds. But it's not about what I'm about to say. It's about what God's going to do while I'm saying it. Does that make sense? And whether it's for you in this room or maybe it's for television and it's for the church in general, I believe the Lord wants to help us come out of an anxious place, of a stressful place, of a dark place, even the body of Christ. You know, the devil lulls us to sleep and kind of hypnotizes us. I know that's not necessarily a good word, you know, in general, but the devil can do that, and he can begin to confuse us, the body of Christ, and start making us get off track and thinking wrong, and it begins to stunt our growth. It begins to stunt our progress in the culture. And God brings truth and he brings light to push those things out. And so today, I don't want you to listen with just your head. I don't want you just to listen with like ears to try to hear new doctrine or new lessons or, oh, that's a good little truth, Pastor Kevin. It's not about that today. I really believe God's going to do something supernatural in your mind and in your spirit. So I believe that when you walk out today, you're going to sense a freedom and you're going to sense a release. And I believe that's God's will. Today and next week, it's a two-parter, and I'm going to deal with the first half this week and the second half next week. But today is entitled, This is a Great Day. This is, right now, what you're living in, this time, this season, this generation is a great day. Amen. Now, you can understand why, if you don't see it that way, why it's being used of the devil to lull us to sleep or to confuse us. If the body of Christ is always looking to the past, we'll never go anywhere in the future. If we're always looking to the future, we'll never do anything right now. If we don't know how to live in the middle of chaos and problems, if we don't know how to be light in darkness or salt in decay, you don't understand why God sent us. You can understand why it's important. You understand each day, every day, your destiny, your time, your piece of the timeline, where you've been born. You weren't supposed to be born long ago. You weren't supposed to be born in the future. You were supposed to be born right now. And for you, my friend, and for all of us, O body of Christ that's alive on the earth today, today is a great day. Amen. Today is a great day. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Now, you might say, but Pastor Kevin, there's so much there's so many problems in the world today. Are you saying God is the one that has created all those problems? Absolutely not. God created the world perfect. He created Adam and Eve perfect. He created the Garden of Eden perfect. When he was finished with all of his creation, he said, it is good. But those things, whether they're being caused by the devil or sinful man, famine, wars, rumors of wars, poverty, the breakdown of the family, even though all those things are going on, I want you to understand something. There is still greatness about today. God is still God. God has solutions. God has answers. And God is choosing and desiring to use you to bring some of those solutions to the problems of today. But if you come into agreement with just what's wrong with the world, or just what's wrong with this generation, or what's wrong with the church, you'll never see the solutions and the truth and the power that God has given you today. This is the day that the Lord has made. God set things in order. Every 24 hours that goes by, God has created that 24 hours. He set the sun in place. He set the rotation of the earth. So truly God, every time we see the sunrise and every time we see the sunset, God has given us time. He's giving us a block, a place in this world and the timeline to wake up and to do something great. If we wake up in the morning, the Lord has made that day, and no matter what's going on in the world around me in that day, I will rejoice that I have a new day to affect this world, to affect change, to affect my life and the life of somebody else. I will, it's an act of my will, rejoice and be glad that I have an opportunity that in the night season, I didn't slip away into heaven, though that would be great. I would love to see Jesus. If my eyes open this morning, then today is a great day. Amen. Do you understand? The Bible is not trying to be ignorant of the problems of the world around us. When the psalmist wrote that in Psalms 118, there was also famine. There was also evil kings in power. There was also deception and disorder and chaos and disease in the world. And yet the psalmist is saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. He didn't say he made the problems, but he's given us another opportunity today. I will, and I love it's the act of my will. And some of you today, that's where you are. It's an act of your will. I will rejoice, and I'm going to be glad today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not when all the chaos ends, because we live in a fallen world, everybody. When will you give yourself permission to live? When will you give yourself permission to embrace the time that God has given you? Or are we always so focused on what isn't happening, we can never see what is happening? God has never stopped moving. And even though there's disorder and sin and poverty, famine, wickedness, and confusion in the earth, you understand that God has always been on the move? Since the fall, God has never stopped working. And it's so important that our rejoicing in this day comes because we can see that God has an opportunity today. God has a plan today. God has a hope and a future today. And I'm going to put my eyes on what God is doing, not on the problems that I see around me. The word rejoice there, I love the word rejoice. It means to spin around under the influence of a violent emotion, be glad, joyful, and rejoice. Is that the way you woke up today? Did you wake up, jump out of bed, spin around, clap your hands, and say, woo! It's morning! Thank you, Jesus! Or did you wake up this morning and go, dear God, I gotta get up today? It's another day. You didn't come in the middle of the night like I wanted you to, Jesus. You didn't rapture me out of this like I was hoping you would. And I got to go through a whole nother day. I love this. It says it's this violent celebration of emotion where we wake up and we spin around and we're like, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. I'm in the middle of darkness. I may be in the middle of chaos. It may be the chaos in your own life. Some of us, it's not even this noble chaos of being burdened of the world around us. Sometimes it's just this chaos that's going on in our own individual lives. I mean, we don't even have enough, you know, emotion left. We got so much in our own world, we can't even carry the burden of the world around us. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But I'm telling you, whether it's your world that's been under attack or it's the global picture of what's going on, I'm here to speak to you, the individual, and I'm here to speak to you, the body of Christ, all over the country and all over the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will choose to rejoice. I will choose to be glad in it. My gladness doesn't come from the wickedness and the evil that I see. My gladness comes from the fact that I have another 24 hours to affect this world. I have another 24 hours. God's going to come through. God's going to make a way where there was no way. God has a plan. God has a purpose. The devil doesn't win. Not in my life or in my country or in my world or in the church. Amen. We become so negative, and I'm going to talk to the body of Christ now, okay? We become so negative, it's like we're trained, and it even sounds religious and spiritual to be trained to just see the bad around us. You know, by nature, when we're first born, there's so much hope and faith in our lives as children. I mean, they believe they could do things. They believe they could, you know, fly if you told them they could fly. I'm indoctrinating my kids right now that I really am a superhero. Whenever I do something that, you know, looks really cool, my response with a straight face, it's because I'm a superhero. Just keep that between us. And until that goes away, I'm going to take it. But anyways, your children want to believe, your children want to have faith, your children, there's a positivity about them. But somehow through life, through disappointment, through trouble, through people hurting their feelings, through whatever, all of us now as we become adults and things, we become trained to be focused on the bad and not the good anymore. Our eyes immediately go to what's wrong with things rather than what's right with things. Even when we were growing up, our teachers and our parents sometimes, and even us now, because we do it with our kids, we focus so much on the report card, on the D and on the C, we don't celebrate the A enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like, yes, we want to change what's wrong, but let's make sure we rejoice and clap our hands and spin around and brag on the A and on the progress that we see. Are you understanding? Just saying, take that through the body of Christ into the world that we live in right now. It's like even pastors, it's like we train our congregations and everyone's so paranoid about everything and all we can see is the decay of society because that's what we preach is the decay of society and we preach on sin and we preach on America and its collapse and we preach on how dark the world is. You understand the world has been in a fallen state and it's always been dark and it's always had chaos and it's always had, you know, wicked people in high places that are trying to deceive the masses and manipulate culture and dominate people. We understand that's going to happen until Jesus comes and puts the stop button on humanity, sets up his rule in Jerusalem and rules this planet himself. So we just kind of need to get that in our head. If we're waiting for something external to change before we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we, the church, we have a reason to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. But it's like we're so filled and focused on what's going wrong. You know what that shows me? It shows me we're more focused on what the devil's doing than what God is doing in the world around us. Even in your own life, whether it's your finances, your health, your relationships, whatever, it's like all we can see is the activity of the devil, and we're not trained to see that God is moving. Even if it looks like everything around you is going wrong, let me tell you a secret, and it's not even a secret, it's in the Word of God. God is still doing stuff on your behalf. You just aren't seeing it. It's still happening, and His grace is still moving. God, let's all do this together. Everyone do this. Everyone go. God's doing stuff in your life. He just gave you breath to breathe. You understand? Don't tell me God isn't doing anything. You know, I remember a story one time of a guy who was a drug addict and his life was spinning out of control. And he said he found himself in a hotel room somewhere, kind of on a really bad drug, you know, trip. And he said he fell to the floor and he just felt his life was weighing in on him. He didn't know what was real. He didn't know what was false. He didn't know what to believe. He didn't know what was going on. There was so much confusion going on. And he said in that moment when he fell to the floor in the bathroom, he reached over, he said, and he grabbed hold of the tub in that hotel bathroom. And in that moment, he said, this tub is real. I can feel it. And then after he felt the tub, he felt like the sink and other things. And he started to see what was real and what was truth. And in that, he began to build himself back around to see that there were some solid things going on in his life that he needed to know. And then God was able to bring him into complete freedom and deliverance. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. For some of you right now, you're spiraling into, and that's why I feel this is a prophetic thing, you're spiraling into this weird anxiety, this weird depression, this weird sorrow and darkness, even in your life or in your faith, or it's the church in general spiraling into this, we don't know who to believe anymore, we don't know what's going on, the news says this, the world looks like this, my life looks like this, and I'm trying to help us, even if we have to start way back in the beginning and hold on to that bathroom and take a breath and feel that God just gave me breath today. God isn't abandoning me. God is doing something for me. And even if I have one thing like breath in my lungs to be grateful for, I'm going to start with that one good thing and I'm going to build and start thanking God for my breath. And then I'm going to thank Him that I can see. And then I'm going to thank Him that I can walk. God is working for me. Don't listen to the devil that's telling you God isn't doing something for you because you're in a dark place. God is always working for you. Sometimes it's just we have to go back to the basics and understand that God is doing stuff. We're looking at the fights and the battles and the chaos. I'm telling you, that's there. It's going to be there. I wish I could say there was going to come a day on this side of that millennial reign that everything's going to be perfect and, you know, everyone's going to love each other and we're going to give flowers to each other and everyone's just going to be happy, happy, happy. I'm going to bust that bubble. It's not going to happen. The moment we think there's peace, someone else is going to freak out. And so unless you make a decision today and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I will rejoice, you're never going to rejoice. You're never going to be happy. You're never going to see what God is doing in the earth. And it's important that we see them and that we celebrate them. Because if we don't know what God's doing and we don't champion some of the good things that God's doing, you want to know what the decline's going to be? The body of Christ gives up. Because if people don't see something good, they quit. Just like your kid in their grades. If you just beat on their head about the F and don't celebrate the A, they don't try anymore. Do you understand? Just like a coach with an athlete, they are there to tell us what we're doing wrong. I understand that, but they need to champion some of the right that's going on, and it motivates us to try harder and to push. And pastors and church leaders, if we don't champion some of the things that God is doing in this generation, what we don't realize we're doing is we're going to cause the body of Christ to quit. We think we're going to cause them to pray. We're actually causing the body of Christ to give up. Because they're like, the more I pray, it just gets worse. And that's not true. When you pray, things happen. And things are happening. Just because people aren't reporting it doesn't mean God isn't moving. I know my God enough to know that whether or not the news tells me what God's doing, my Bible tells me that my God is moving. And if you don't believe God's moving, you're not going to pray the way you should. You're not going to share your faith the way you would. Because polls and statisticians, the media and the world is not going to tell you Jesus is on the move. And unfortunately, the church is training the people to get their eyes on what the devil's doing, and we're not discerning what God's doing. We're not supposed to be led by the devil. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. The sons and daughters are led by the Spirit of God. That's why you're not moved by what you see in your own life. Because whether or not what I'm facing right now looks like it lines up with the Word of God, I know God is moving on my behalf, and this will change. This physical thing will change and agree with what God's promised over my life. Are you understanding this? I just want to help you. I just feel like there's this spiral today, and by God's grace, We're going to see this thing stopped through His Word and through this ministry this morning. It's time for us to see what our God is up to and stop trying to be just the watchdogs of the world. It is true, we are the salt, we're the light, and we should watch over and govern and use our dominion and discern the times and the seasons. And when the devil tries to reach out and take something, we absolutely should pray, stand against it, unite, share in love. I have no problem with the idea of being a watchdog in a sense. But here's the problem: if all we are is the watchdog of society, watchdogs don't get to play fetch ever. We don't get to enjoy society. We don't get to enjoy what is good about America, what is good about the body of Christ, what is good about family and about the church. Because we're always so busy being the watchdog, we never get to play fetch. Are you understanding? So that's why we're not rejoicing, because we're always on guard. That's what we're for. Yet God says, I give you all things richly to enjoy. No time to enjoy. We're the watchdogs. You go up to Christians, you're like, hey, there's something good going on in America. No, there's not. It's all bad. We're the watchdogs. Okay, well, we don't want to talk about America then. Well, maybe we can celebrate what God's doing in the church. The church is not like it used to be. Church is in decline. Church is wicked. I'm the watchdog. Do you understand? There are good things going on in the church. There are good things going on in the body of Christ. Well, if you don't want to talk about America, you don't want to talk about the church, let's talk about the family. Maybe we can all agree on the family. The family is not like it used to be. I'm the watchdog. Do we ever get to have any fun? Do we ever have anything to celebrate? Or are we always just supposed to be mad at everybody? That's our job? Just to be angry until we die? We're the salt. We're the light. We're the love. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But yet we don't get any. We aren't allowed to have any. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Not in the chaos, not in the sorrow, not in the famine, not in the wickedness, but in the fact that God's doing something. And I'm alive in it. And I'm going to celebrate the fact that I'm alive and I've got another 24 hours to do something. Open your Bibles, if you would please, to Philippians chapter 4. Are you getting anything out of this? Yes. Philippians chapter 4. And you can see why it's such a big deal. You know, I've tried to train you in the past. You know, there are things going wrong. I get that. But how do you change a desert? How do you bring life to a desert? You find signs of life and you water it. And it grows and it then consumes the desert. See, so many times we want to focus on the desert, the dry, and we totally miss the green. But if you focus on the green and you water and tend and care for the green, it will eventually overtake the dry ground. Do you understand that? That's how you transform a desert. You don't transform a desert by just saying there's dirt everywhere. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. This links back to Psalms 118, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. What does your Bible say? Always. When things are going good and things aren't going good. When things are up and when things are down. Rejoice in the Lord always. So when are you going to give yourself permission to be happy? Permission to rejoice? When everything's going right? Let me explain something to you. This is Philippians. Paul the Apostle wrote this book, and he wrote it while he was in prison. So his outside circumstances were not ideal. But yet he's telling the church, rejoice. Basically, like the psalmist, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Paul, in the middle of prison, is writing to the church, rejoice in the Lord always. And then he says, and again I say, what? Rejoice. It's like they weren't listening the first time. It's like people, you know, they just kind of get it. Like, oh, he's just being cute. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Hey! I said rejoice. It was like, don't take this cheap. Don't make this small. This is a huge deal. Rejoice in the Lord. Not in the day of chaos, not in the sin going on around us, not in the problems in the world, but I'm telling you, there's something to rejoice about. And it's the fact that God is with you. We have relationship with Him. Let's start with that. But we have a reason to rejoice. And I believe it's because Paul knew Christians needed to rejoice. We need to celebrate. We need to see good. Because if we don't see good, we begin to quit. In the middle of all their persecution, all of their people being martyred and stolen from, do you understand? If anything, they had reason not to rejoice. And he could have said, let's rejoice when all of this is over. But he's saying, we're going to rejoice right now. See, the one thing that's wonderful about the presence of the Lord, and we always have something to rejoice about, is no matter what you're going through, no matter what the crisis, no matter what the problem, the presence of the Lord is always with us. We can begin to sing, we can begin to celebrate, and His presence comes in and gives us peace and begins to guard our heart and mind. And that's the context that you're about to see. I just told you why Paul said that, and now he's going to give you the teaching on it right now. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding or comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying, rejoice no matter what you're going through. I'm in prison and I'm telling you to rejoice. So don't wait for outside circumstances to change. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he says, now make your requests known to God. So you're going through stuff. So you're sending your requests, your burdens to the Lord. I cast my cares upon Him because He cares for me. So I'm sending my cares to the Lord. So he says, let your requests, supplications be made known to God. And then he adds, with thanksgiving. Now he doesn't say add with thanksgiving when the answer to your prayer comes. He says move into thanksgiving right after you've prayed those things. Right after you've cast those cares. Understand, he's in prison. He has burdens. His world around him is dark, is chaotic. There's wickedness going on everywhere. He's telling people rejoice. He's understanding every Christian has garbage that goes on in their life. And he says, totally understand, I'm not asking you to put blinders on, but take those things, give them to God, and get into thanksgiving. Move into the rejoicing, because Paul knows if you just focus on the need of your life, on the parts of your life that are broken, you're going to quit. And you begin thanking God in advance that He's listening, that He's on the move. This is what we've been talking about. Whether or not your life looks like it's changing, you jump out of bed and you begin to rejoice in the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice now. I'm still facing that financial problem. I'm still facing that relational problem. I'm still facing problems in my country or in the body of Christ, in the church world. I'm facing all that stuff. But I'm thanking God. I'm finding the bathtub something to thank Him for right now. I can thank Him for breath in my lungs. I can thank Him that He just heard me when I prayed. I can thank Him that I'm even not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to begin to thank Him and note the what happens when we move into that position. It says the peace of God that passes understanding comes in and begins to guard our heart in our mind, in Christ Jesus. It's not even you now trying to talk yourself into having peace. The peace of God actually begins to step in and uphold you with His peace. It's like a supernatural peace. Do you understand? Think about what I'm saying here, everybody. Paul is giving them, he's giving them the solution. He's giving them what he's doing to get peace in his situation. Do you understand? Paul's telling them to do this because he's doing this and seeing these results. The man in prison is doing this and he's sensing the peace of God guarding his heart and he's saying, you can have what I'm having right now. You say, are you really sure about that, Pastor Kevin? Read the next verses. The next verses go on to say, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report, if there's anything excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, what I'm doing right now, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Paul is telling them what I'm telling you. He's saying, look, there may be opposition. There may be chaos. There may be darkness. There may be famine, pestilence, disease. It's always going on since the fall of man. And Paul is saying what to think on, what to dwell on. He's saying, is there anything out there that's noble? Let's focus on that. Is there anything going on around you that's lovely? Let's focus on that. Let's grab a hold of that. Is there anything worthy of praise? Let's think on that. The word dwell is like to think consistently, to occupy your thoughts on a constant basis. He's not telling them to have blinders on. And I'm not telling you as the body of Christ that you don't get informed in the news and find out what's going on. But don't feed your mind on that garbage. You feed your spirit on the truth, on the Word of God. Paul is saying, let's focus on what's good that's happening. Do you understand? He's trying to motivate the move of God in the early church. Talk about not having great momentum. I mean, we're excited because there was 3,000 in the initial stages of Christianity, and then it grew again, and God was adding to them and stuff. The whole world was in total darkness. And you're trying to keep an early church movement, even though it's just a few 20, whatever, 30 years old at that time, you're trying to keep them motivated with great persecution going on, great chaos going on, and they could have easily said, we're out of this. And Paul was looking at them saying, do what I'm doing. Look what's going on that God is doing. God is changing lives. God is setting people free. God is giving us a hope and a future. Is there anything lovely? Is there anything honorable? Is there anything of a good report? Is there anything worthy of praise? Let's think on these things, because he knew it was going to create faith. He knew it was going to create motivation. And that's why I look at you and say, we're going to talk about the church in the next series, next week. We're going to talk about lots of things that God is doing. But I'm telling you, even in America, in your own life, God is doing things. God is doing things. It breaks my heart. It's like we sometimes don't realize the good things that are going on around us because we're just trained to see the bad. And just going back to my country, our country, America, it's like we've been so indoctrinated by our own teachers to hate this country. And to despise what it is. Yes, there's evil and there's wickedness. But we get to live in the United States of America. We get to be Americans. There's people all over the world that wish they lived here. And we act like we have the worst shake in the world. We have the worst, oh my goodness, we live in America. It's like saying you had a bad day at golf. It was a day of golf. Or a bad day fishing. It was a whole day fishing. A bad day in America is an awesome day for most of the world. Amen. And if we don't see that, then why would we stand in the gap to save it? We're so upset. We forget the bathtub, the good things that are going on around us. I mean, most of us, I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark here, didn't ride here on a donkey. You have a car. Now, your car may be like the Flintstone car where you can put your feet to the floor and you have to pedal, but you have a car. Amen? You don't have to walk for 2 or 3 days to get where you're going. Maybe you start with that's your bathtub saying, I have something to be grateful for. My piece of junk car, I'm thankful for every piece of junk. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. I have something to rejoice in the Lord about. I'm not walking. I may not get there fast, but I'll get there. Amen. We got so many things to be grateful for and rejoice about, and all we focus on what isn't happening. I was doing some statistics about the world in general and Americans, and do you know 5.2 billion people in the world have a cell phone? Do you understand how blessed we are? Maybe you just need to look at your cell phone and just say, I am so blessed that I have more technology in my hand than they had on the first spaceships. Do you understand? Some people get so mad that we don't have the newest cell phone that's out there. And that's like anxiety for us. Oh my God. I don't have the newest cell phone. The cheapest cell phone in the world is a miracle. You are speaking to somebody on the other side of the world. You're not sending a letter by like a Pony Express and then it gets on a boat and then it goes through, I don't know, somebody on the other side of the world. And 4 months later, your friend gets the news of what happened, which is now old news. You can communicate within 30 seconds. And then we get frustrated when our phone isn't fast enough. Like 30 seconds isn't fast enough. Like it's sending a signal to space. And coming back, and if it doesn't come back fast enough, we're like totally annoyed. Oh my gosh. Give it a minute, man. It's a piece of junk. It's going to space. We're so spoiled. And we don't even see the good around us. The other day, I actually was getting offended and mad at an automated sink and soap dispenser because I couldn't get it to work. And a restroom. I'm like, and you start doing the sink dance, you know, like the waltz, the bathroom waltz. Trying to get, and I'm like, what's going on? I don't even have to turn the faucet on. How lazy are we? And we don't even appreciate the culture and the society that we live in right now. And like if they have blowers in the bathroom, we're way offended at that. Because it takes way too long to blow dry your hand rather than a paper towel. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, oh I'm so upset they got a blower machine rather than a paper towel machine. We don't realize how spoiled we are. In the 20th century, the turn of the 20th century, the human lifespan was 47 years old. Now, it's over 85 years old. We've almost doubled in our lifespan because of the medicines that we get privileged to have here in the United States, because of the things we've learned about health and the progress that we've made, because of so many things. We have so many things to be grateful for. Most of us, as far as I know, live in a house with a roof over our head and you didn't sleep in a cardboard box last night. You have something to be grateful for. I'm just trying to help us start the process because I'm talking to you about stop looking at what isn't happening and start somewhere. Amen. About what is happening. Amen. 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 There are people on the other side of the world that wish they could grow up in the United States of America. Our Declaration of Independence tells us that we hold certain truths to be self-evident, that each person is granted by God some unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not every country thinks that way, everybody. So if we begin to despise America, we won't pray for America. If we don't see some of the good going on in America, we won't stand in the gap for America. And we'll begin not understanding it, we'll begin cursing our nation rather than speaking life to it. You don't make things live by speaking death. You make things live by speaking life. Okay? You work hard because you see the potential, because you see what it is and what it could be. Amen. That's why I'm saying this needs to go into the body of Christ. Because if we're not careful and this whole watchdog and we're angry all the time and there's nothing good going on, we don't know the other side of that coin is the body of Christ is going to quit. That's why this is important. Amen? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our country never guaranteed happiness, but it guaranteed the pursuit of it. But yet, we never give ourselves permission to pursue or to be happy or whatever, take the opportunities that are laid in front of us. In closing, bringing kind of a landing to this whole thing. I kind of, in praying about this, started thinking about history and all that stuff and every nation. Here I'm telling you to be joyful and to rejoice and think about the good, not just the bad. I think people are amazing. In every country of the world, no matter what it's gone through, even some of the poorest nations that have had dictators and been abused and have always been in lack and in need and gone through wars, and you can go through every culture that has ever existed. I want you to see something. In every culture, there's always been poetry that was written, wonderful books, stories that were written and told, songs that were written and sung. There's been love and romance, because obviously they're populating. There's been love between family, brother to brother and sisters. And there's been sport and games. Even some of the poorest nations in Africa, we've got tremendous relationships with some of these nations. And it's amazing that you can go into their environment and they have nothing compared to what we have. And they're singing songs. And they're dancing. And they can move way better than I can move. And they find a can, or they find a something to kick. And they're playing games and sport. Do you understand? They're not... They found a way to wake up and have a life, even in the middle of tremendous darkness. Human beings are awesome. And I'm asking you to do that too. I don't know where you are. I don't know what's going on in your life. But you know what? There's a song for you to sing. There is a dance for you to dance. There's a sport for you to play. There's a time for you to laugh and to smile and to rejoice. On your worst day, you've got some pretty awesome things that are going for you. Amen. Amen. Today is a really great day. And you're going to overcome. You're going to, even in death, we win. You understand that? We always have something to sing about, something to celebrate about. And I'm just asking again, when are you going to give yourself permission to live? Jesus said that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you may have a rich and satisfying life. That you may have life and life more abundantly. The devil sometimes steals your life without ever taking anything from you. He steals your life by lying about what you don't have so that you don't enjoy what you do have. And then he steals the joy of what's right in front of you. See, we always think the devil just takes something away from us. He doesn't have to do that. He just gets you unsatisfied with what's going on that's good. And so now you don't have what you don't have, and you don't even enjoy what you do have. The devil wins. You understand? And Paul is saying, guys, let's focus our attention on things that are honorable, noble, good report. If there's any virtues, any praise, let's think on those things. They're going to motivate us. They're going to keep us full of faith. They're going to keep us in the right mindset. They're going to help the peace of God to come in and say, God is taking care of us. Don't you dare get in agreement that God isn't doing something in your life. That's a lie. You stay in agreement with Him that He's doing things, whether you see it or not, and His will prevail over your life. Go ahead and stand up. Let me close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Amen. Amen. Let me pray that over your life. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' wonderful name, I pray for Life Church, and I pray for those watching on TV or the internet right now and our other campuses. Father, I pray for a shift in our thinking. That God, we don't fall into the category of just seeing what's wrong, but that we can see what you're up to. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Lord, right now I come out of agreement, and I break this church out of agreement with the devil that says God isn't doing anything in our country, or God isn't doing anything in the church, or even in our personal lives. We agree with the fact that you are building your church, and you who've begun a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. God, you've never stopped working, and you never will. And so, Lord, give us eyes to see everything that you're building and doing in our lives. Break us out of that negativity. Lord, that agreeing with the opposite of your will in our life, today we stop. We stop spewing garbage about our life and about just our country. Yes, there's junk, There's chaos that we don't approve of. There's wickedness going on. But God is doing stuff. And Lord, we focus on that. And we celebrate it. And we rejoice in it. And Lord, we then take our assignment to know what to do about the chaos. But we come out of a healthy place, not an unhealthy place. So Lord, I bless this church. I pray peace. I pray joy. I pray when they leave today, as they go sit in their car and they put their hands around the wheel, there would be a sense of gratefulness that there's a wheel there. There'd be a sense of gratefulness that they're in a nation that they can drive from state to state and not have to prove their papers and all this stuff. We have the freedom to travel and to enjoy. And Lord, we thank you that there's just so many things to be grateful for. Lord, I thank you right now, and I pray blessing over this house. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Free them now, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I need to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you say, why do we always have to do that? Because that's the best news. That's the best reason to wake up in the morning, is getting right with God. And we can celebrate America, and we can celebrate the church, but you know, if you're going to hell, you don't really have a whole lot to celebrate. The Bible says that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages and the penalty of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. All who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's reason alone to celebrate in our lives. If everything else was going wrong, this one thing I celebrate, and the devil can't take it away, and the problems in this world can't take it away. I have an eternal life laid up before me. There are crowns of righteousness. There are crowns laid up before me. I get to see my Savior one day. This life is not all there is. And so I want to challenge you today. Where are you with God? If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, let's get it right today. If you say, Pastor Kevin, I've never called on the name of the Lord to be saved. Or you say, maybe I used to have a relationship with God, but I walked away. Today's the day to get things right. I get everyone to bow their heads, close their eyes for just the next 10 seconds or so. I'm not going to call you out in front of everybody. I want to pray for you right at your seat, but I want you to be honest enough to slip up a hand and say, that's me. I need to get right with God. Would you pray for me? If that's you today, would you slip up a hand wherever you are? Say, pray for me. There's a hand right there. Thank you. I need to get right with God. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? Just put up a hand. Thank you. I see another hand over there. Anybody else? Just pop it up. I'll pray for you right at your seat. Anybody else today? Pray for me, Pastor. I want to get right with God. I don't want to leave this place. There's another hand over there. Thank you. Anybody else today? Another hand in the center. Awesome. 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 This really is the day that the Lord has made, and this will give you something to rejoice about. There's another hand there. Thank you. Anybody else? Just put up a hand. I'll pray for you right where you are. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, church, let's all pray together so they're not praying by themselves. Would you please? Let's pray this simple prayer together. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's celebrate that. That's awesome. Amen. Over to my left, your right, those of you that raised your hand, everyone else is going to be leaving here in just a moment. We have some wonderful altar counselors. They have Bibles they would love to give you. They would love to just pray with you. Offer any support we can to help you in your walk with God. So if you just have a few moments, just let them know, and they would love to support you. Get the other prayer teams coming forward now, if you would please, my other altar workers. They're going to be here to pray for you. Now, these other teams, there's one, and here's some more coming. I'm like, where'd they go? There's our other teams. Thank you. These are wonderfully trained altar and prayer teams that you can trust. We know them. That's why we put them up here. They're here to pray for your healings. They're here to pray for miracles in your life. You might need jobs. You might need something in your marriage. That's what they're here for, to believe God for a breakthrough in your life. And so when we dismiss, the altars will be open for you as well. Let me pray and dismiss everybody. Father, we thank you that today is a great day. And we pray as we go and we fellowship that we just find one thing after another to say thank you for that, and thank you for that, and thank you for that. And as we eat that food, we thank you for that, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we just give you thanks, and we begin to build on those good things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go.